Good morning.
Morning.
It's great to be here with all of you. Before we get into God's Word this morning, I just want to remind you all that we have a really important business meeting this afternoon, and I really want to encourage you to participate. Not only is it a privilege as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a part of the body of Christ, as a church member, not only is it a privilege, but it's also a responsibility. As a lot of you studied this morning about the church and about how each one of us is gifted by God and each plays such an important role in what God wants to do through the church, this is part of us using the gifts that God has given us, being a part of participating in the church business meeting. So I want to invite you all and really seriously implore you to come and participate. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise you for who you are. God, you are almighty. You are the creator. You are perfect. You are totally in control. And God, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for loving us with an unconditional, never-ending love. God, thank you for demonstrating your love to us through your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent to die on the cross, to forgive us of our sin, to make a way for us, God, to be with you again. God, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning, to be able to worship you in freedom, to worship you in truth. God, I ask that you would open our hearts, that you would open our ears, open our eyes to your word, to your truth. God, help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit that dwells in us. God, help us to live our lives, God, to the fullest, to live according to your word, to live in the power of Jesus Christ. And God, I just thank you. Thank you for being so good, so gracious to us. Thank you for this beautiful morning, this beautiful weather. And God, yeah, God, help us not to just be hearers of your word, but help us to be doers of your word. And so we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I have a question for all of you. Do you remember the last time you heard or saw something where you came away from it or you witnessed it and you thought, wow, that was bold? Anyone, remember a last time? You don't have to raise your hand or anything, but do you remember the last time you experienced something where you came away and you felt, or you, while you were witnessing it or experiencing it, you thought to yourself, wow, that was bold. I'm sure there's some positive and negative examples. But let me share with you a couple of my own experiences. And you might have heard this first one before, but if you haven't, here it is. One of the first times that I can remember just being completely blown away by someone's boldness was when I was preparing to go on my first mission trip. As a 16-year-old high schooler, okay, going on my first mission trip, and I remember we had a number of training sessions, and my pastor was leading us and teaching us and trying to get us ready for this mission trip, my very first one. And he started talking to us about the community that we're going to go and witness to and evangelize and reach out to. And one of the descriptive points as he was describing this community was that there are a lot of stray dogs running all over the place. And so he had to actually spend some time on preparing us, a bunch of high schoolers, to know what to do if a situation may arise. And I remember him telling us, okay, guys, if a dog starts to chase and attack you, here's what you need to do. Now, I thought I knew what I was supposed to do. I had heard some things, you know, from school and other, you know, safety tips about what to do if the dog's attacking you, to be still or to curl up or protect your eyes, or make a fist so that they don't bite your fingers off, whatever it is. Okay, I thought I knew what to do. But my pastor shared this. He said, if a dog is attacking you, I want you to hold out your hand, and all you need to do is hold out your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I muzzle you. And you don't have to be afraid. Now, at that moment, after I heard that, after I heard those words coming out of his mouth, I remember thinking to myself, wow, that is bold, and I am not that bold. I'm running if the dog starts chasing me. I don't care about what you just taught me. I'm going to run, okay? And thankfully, I never had to use that. Never had to use that training, okay, during that mission trip. But that was bold. More recent experience. As you know, I have three children. Our youngest is our daughter, Hannah, who's three. And almost three, okay. But I remember that there was a time, okay, one of the first times I witnessed her do this thing. And it was about the time where she first turned two. And I remember we were sitting down at a meal, and Debbie probably remembers this as well. It was the first time I witnessed it. We're sitting down, and she finished part of her meal, and she was asking us for more. Saying, Mommy, Daddy, can I have some more of this? Okay, it was meat or rice or whatever it was. But we noticed in her dish, she did not eat her vegetables. So we said, okay, Hannah, if you want some more of this, you have to eat your vegetables. Okay, and then that started the debate. That started her, kept asking us, I want some more of this. I want some more of this. And we kept saying, no, Hannah, you have to eat your vegetables first. And here's what happened. I kid you not. She stared at me. She grabbed her bowl, just like this, and dropped it on the floor. I remember thinking to myself, wow. It's kind of slow motion. While that's all taking place, it only happened within a matter of seconds. But in that moment, it's like, I'm thinking to myself, is she going to really do that? Is she really staring me down? Is she really going to throw that on the floor? Is this happening right now? And yes, it did. And I won't tell you about how bold I got after that. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't get bold. Actually, it's kind of funny. Debbie and I were trying to fight off the laughter. Because, when they're that little, it's kind of cute. But at the same time, we realize that it's our responsibility to discipline our children and teach them what's right and wrong. And but anyway, it's a work in progress. But I remember when that happened, I was thinking, wow, that's a bold two-year-old. Do you remember the last time you experienced boldness? And today we're going to look in the book of Acts. We're going to look in the book of Acts, chapter 4. And if you didn't know, the book of Acts was written by Luke. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke. All right, and if you look at those two books, you look at Luke, and we know that it talks about Jesus. It talks about the life of Jesus, the life and the ministry of Jesus, all the way through His death. And mentions the resurrection. And if you look at Acts, you can think of the book of Acts like a Luke part 2. Okay? When you look at the book of Acts, it talks about the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Disciples, as the Holy Spirit came and indwelled them and empowered them to do amazing things for God and for God's kingdom. But you look at Acts and it talks about Jesus after He was raised from the dead. And if you have read through, or if you take time to read through and study through the book of Acts, you'll see time after time after time, miracle after miracle, God doing amazing things through His people, through faithful obedience, through boldness, God doing amazing things through the power of the Holy Spirit. What is boldness? And if you look at your outline, I want you to fill it in here. Boldness is behavior born out of belief. Boldness is behavior born out of belief. What you believe determines how you behave. Okay, think about this. What you believe, what's really important to you, what you really believe deep down determines how you will live, how you will behave, how you will respond in different situations. If you're worried about what other people think about you all the time, then you're going to live timidly. You're always going to be looking over your shoulder. You're always going to be wondering about what everyone else says. If you're worried about failure, if you're worried about making mistakes, then you're going to live a very cautious life. Not wanting to take a chance, not wanting to take a risk because you might not do it. You might fail. If you believe that all you need in this life to be happy is money and financial security, then your life is going to show that. Then you're going to spend your whole life accumulating wealth and material possessions so that you can be safe and secure. Brothers and sisters, God is calling you. God is calling you to live and to follow Jesus. God is calling you. He's empowering you. Jesus is with you. And He's calling us to be bold. Boldness is a behavior born out of belief. When you look at the Bible and you look up the word boldness, okay, it does occur many times in the Bible, and especially in the New Testament, okay? Boldness, it comes from the Greek word parrhesia, okay? And it means outspoken, it means assurance, courage, confidence, to act without fear. And we see this. We see this boldness all throughout the New Testament. We see this boldness in the book of Acts. Amazing boldness. And when we look at this passage this morning in Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at Peter. Peter, a lot of you are familiar with Peter, the disciple Peter. What is he most famous for? Many of you may know that Peter was the one that denied Jesus. How many times? Three times, not once, not twice, but three times. But Peter was also the one that when Jesus asked him if he loved him, Peter said, "Yes, I love you, Jesus." Peter was the guy who was like, "No matter what happens, I don't care about these other guys, I'm going to be with you, Jesus. I got your back, Jesus." But when the time came for him to actually stand up for Jesus, he failed. You see, as you look at and look at the life of Peter, as told in the Bible, you see a lot of bold intentions. But you see a lot of timid actions. But you see, as he started to get to know Jesus, as he started to spend more time with Jesus, as Jesus started to mold him and open up his eyes to his truth, you see how his life was changed. Yes, he denied Jesus at the most important time when Jesus needed him the most. But when you look here in the book of Acts, you see Peter doing amazing things through the power of Jesus Christ. Yes, he denied Jesus three times. But yet, Peter preached the gospel. And he brought thousands of people to Jesus Christ. And not only that, but you read just preceding chapter 4 here, there's a specific experience of something that happened with Peter and John. They were coming to Jerusalem. They're coming. And they are outside the gates, the city gates. And they encountered this crippled man. This crippled man who had been crippled for 40 years. And as usual, when you think about someone who's in this account, this crippled man probably sat outside the gate. Crippled people, disabled people were thought of as outcasts, and he was outside the gate as he probably did every day, begging for money, begging for people to help him, to give him something. And at this moment, Peter and John, they came to this beggar, and this beggar asked Peter and John for some money. And you know what Peter and John said? They said, we're going to give you today something far more valuable than money. And they healed him. They healed him. They healed this man who had been crippled for 40 years of his life. They healed him and they said, they told him, they made sure that he know that it was by the power of Jesus that he is healed today. And so that's what happened. Now the religious leaders of the time, they got wind of what had been going on. They got wind of what Peter and John were doing and the miracles that they were performing and that the words that they were, the things that they were teaching. That they were able to heal this man by the power of Jesus Christ. And so the religious leaders, they had them arrested. They had Peter and John arrested and brought before them. And it's like they were on trial. And here we are in chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And I want to invite you to read this silently with me. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Wow. When I read that response by Peter, when I read that response, I say, wow, that was bold. You gotta think about the time and the situation that they're in. The religious leaders, the Sadducees, they were high class. They were highly respected. They were the leaders of the time. They didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They believed that anyone who was teaching that Jesus rose from the dead, that He was the Son of God, that He was the Messiah, they were committing blasphemy, heresy, false teachings. It was like a declaration of war to them. And so they brought these guys in. These guys that were teaching lies. They're standing before them. They're on trial. And yet Peter, boldly. And if you look more closely at his response, he kind of takes a jab at them, right? It's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but who God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. That was bold. That was bold. And you think about it, over 2,000 years ago, the name of Jesus Christ was so controversial, created so much conflict, so much debate. But what about today? The name of Jesus is just as controversial, brings up just as much emotion and debate as over 2,000 years ago. There's never been a greater time for us as the church to be bold. To be willing to stand up for truth, for what's right. To be willing to follow boldly, follow Jesus boldly in obedience and in accordance to His Word. And there's never been a greater time in this world where people need Jesus. And I want us to focus on verse 13. Look at verse 13. I'll read it again. No, I'll read it now. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, there's three facts about boldness that I want to share with you this morning. And the first one, you can write it in your outline if you like to fill in blanks and have notes for later. The first one, God gives ordinary people extraordinary boldness. God gives ordinary people extraordinary boldness. You look at verse 13 again. Now the leaders, they realized that Peter and John were just ordinary men. And I want to point something out to you in that verse. That word ordinary, that's too nice of a word that the translators kind of put in there. I mean, it's right, it's correct. But the word, the original word, like in the Greek, it comes from a word, ordinary, comes from a word, idiotase. Now, for all of you English speakers, what does idiotase sound like? Idiot. Idiot. Okay? These men, they were astonished because these were unschooled idiots that were able to stand before them and make this clear and concise and powerful argument. They were blown away by these idiots. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember many, many times growing up, and even sometimes now, how many of you have ever made a huge mistake? You knew you messed up. But there are some very gracious and loving people that come alongside you and just say, they smile at you and say, oh, that's okay. Good try. It's okay. Good try. Okay, none of you have ever experienced that. But I have many times. And when I look back at that, I mean, I'm appreciative of those people that took that opportunity. But I pretty much know that when they're patting me on the back and smiling at me because of the huge mistake I made and saying it's okay, what they were really thinking is, Steve, you're an idiot. How could you do that? Idiots. God gives ordinary people extraordinary boldness. You know, this is a truth. And if you remember amazing things that God did in the Bible, in biblical times, you think about it. And the fact is that God uses messed up people all throughout the Bible to do extraordinary things. God uses the most messed up people to do some of the most extraordinary things in the Bible. Moses, right? Moses led a whole nation out of slavery. Moses was a murderer. The Apostle Paul, he wanted to kill Christians and wanted them to be wiped off the face of the earth. Yet when he met Jesus, he is one of the greatest Christians to have ever lived. God uses messed up people to do some of the most extraordinary and amazing things. God uses ordinary people like me and you to change the course of eternity. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a mature Christian. You may be a stay-at-home mother. You may be a student. You may be just a regular guy. If think of yourself as just a regular guy. Let me tell you this. God wants to do amazing things through you. And it may not be the amazing that you think is amazing. Like, oh, God's going to use me to give someone $10 billion. But no, God wants to use you to give someone eternal life. You see, what is God calling you to do? How is God calling you to be bold today? Maybe He's calling you to walk away from a fight. Maybe He's calling you to offer forgiveness to someone who you are upset with. Maybe He's calling you to dress modestly. Guys, girls, women, men. Maybe He's calling you to stand up for what's right. Maybe He's calling you to not go through with that deal because it's not ethical. Maybe He's calling you not to go to that movie because all that movie is going to talk about is sex and drugs. And maybe God is calling you to confront somebody, to speak the truth and love to them. Maybe God's calling you to talk to someone that's caught in sin and they need someone to come alongside them and not just tell them what they want to hear, but tell them something, a word from God, to let them know that they are loved and cared for and that there's something so much better for them. Maybe that bold thing that God's calling you to do is to say, I love you. Or to tell someone that you're proud of them. Maybe that bold thing is to open your mouth and to share Jesus Christ with somebody. You know, I remember a few years ago when we were talking about God, how God gives ordinary people extraordinary boldness. I remember out of the blue, one Saturday morning, my dad calls me up. And Saturday morning is usually time with family, time to relax, time to sleep in a little bit if the kids don't wake up early. And I remember getting this phone call. And it was kind of weird because my dad doesn't call me that much, let alone call me early in the morning on the weekend. And so I answer the phone. Hi, Dad. Oh, good morning. What's up, Dad? And I remember him. He's asking me, okay, Steve, I need you to come with me. I want you to come visit one of my old friends in the hospital. He's really sick. He's dying. And I want you to share the gospel with him. Now, not only was I shocked by my dad calling me and actually talking about Jesus, I mean, it was my dad who was the big provider, one of the big providers for our family. He was always at work. He was in the restaurant business, so he wasn't the one taking us to church. He had to work. My mom was the one that brought us to church. And my dad, he wasn't the one that I normally had deep conversations with or about faith. But here he is this morning saying, Steve, I need you to come with me to share Jesus with somebody. I was blown away. And so, again, it's one of those moments where it seemed like an eternity, but it was very short. I'm thinking, in my mind and in my heart, I'm coming up with all these excuses and thinking about, Dad, why are you asking me to do this? Don't you know some other people in the Chinese community that can talk to that guy, that know that guy, that could probably relate to him a lot better than me? Why are you calling me in the morning? And not only that, but Dad, you know the gospel. Why can't you share it with them? I didn't say all that to him. I'm thinking this. I wasn't bold enough to say that to him. And so I remember coming up with all these excuses. And finally, you know, I was kind of convicted. I'm like, man, I'm a pastor. I want to tell the world about Jesus. And yet I don't want to tell this guy about Jesus. I just want to be comfortable in my bed on a Saturday morning under my covers. And so I finally gave in. Like, okay, Dad, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. And I think one of the biggest things that made me apprehensive about doing this and going with my dad was because I was scared. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know this person. I didn't know if they would even understand what I say or how much English they could speak. I said, okay, I'll do it. It was kind of one of those childish moments. Okay, fine, Dad, I'll go. And so here's where the story gets interesting. So I go and I'm talking to this man. I get introduced by my father. And not only is the man there who's sick and dying, but his son is there. And all I remember is saying hi. And I remember saying, can I share something with you? The greatest introduction, right? Hi, can I share something with you? And I remember I shared the gospel. I had my Bible in hand. I didn't flip to 50 different passages to build a proper argument for him to put his faith in Christ. But I ended up going to John 3:16. And I remember explaining it. I did my best to explain it to this man. And I couldn't tell if he was coherent or not, going in and out, or if he was falling asleep. But I remember after I was done sharing, I wanted to at least do my best. I was asking him questions. So, do you believe? Do you understand that Jesus is God's Son? That God created everything? And I was asking him all these questions, and to my surprise, he was alert. He understood what I was saying, and he was talking with me and saying, yes, I believe that. I believe that. And I finally asked him, so if you believe this, I don't know what I said. Okay? But I do remember that he said, yes, I believe and I want to put my faith in Jesus as my Savior. I was totally floored. Because I remember praying through that whole time, God, just give me something to say. Help me to make sense. God, I don't know what to do. God, help him to understand. If he's going to come to you, Jesus, then it's going to be by something you do because I don't know what I'm doing. And now, was that a sincere decision that he made? I don't know. I will never know. Only God knows. But what I do know is that yes, he, with his mouth, he proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord that day. Now, was it because of my amazing speaking skills? Was it because of my good looks and charm that I convinced this elderly man? Most likely not. And I know it's not. But I know that if he did put his faith in Jesus Christ that day, it was all because of God. God can do something amazing through the most ordinary person. What is God calling you to do? How is God calling you to be bold? That second fact about boldness that I want to share with you is that boldness, your boldness will amaze the world. Your boldness will amaze the world. Look at verse 13 again. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary idiots, they were what? They were astonished. They were astonished by these ordinary men. They were astonished when they saw their courage. Your boldness, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, your boldness will amaze the world. How many of you like to cook? Anyone? I didn't say you like to clean, just the cooking part. Okay? How many of you like to eat? Okay, I like to do both. All right, but one of Debbie and I, my wife and I's favorite stations to watch is the Food Network. Okay, and there's one show in particular that we've seen in the past called Chopped. And not to get into what the show is all about. Basically, it's just a cooking competition. There's three contestants. There's three rounds, and after each round, someone is eliminated. And so, in the final round, there's two contestants, and at the end, there's a panel of judges and they declare who the winner is. The winner of this competition for that episode or that specific competition gets $10,000. Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot of money. Okay? And so, I read about this one episode. I didn't see it myself. But there's this one episode where there's this Christian chef, male chef, okay? And then the other two contestants, I don't think they were Christian. But throughout the show, they don't just show the contestants cooking. They often show them, they give you a little background on each contestant. Or they show them like in the waiting room while the judges are deliberating. And so you get to learn a little bit about these contestants. And in one of the clips that they showed that the women contestants, they shared that they were going through a very tough time in their life. And one crazy thing that male, that Christian chef did was after hearing about how this woman was going through a difficult time, on air, he said, "Do you mind if I pray with you?" And he prayed with this woman. And not only that, that's not the amazing part. That's probably a little amazing, but so it came down to the finals, okay? And it was that Christian chef against the woman that he prayed for. They were battling for the final, and ultimately the judges chose the Christian guy. He won! Yay! Thank you, Jesus! He won $10,000. But what he did next was amazing. On air, usually they show the response of the contestant and they ask the contestant, "So what are you going to do with this money?" This man, he said, "You know what? I feel that God wants me to give this money to this woman." He gave $10,000, his prize, to this woman. Now, as you may imagine, everyone was stunned. The judges were stunned. People were crying. The audience, you know, the people that were there, the crew, the judges and the crew and the other contestants that were there, they were in tears witnessing this amazing act, this bold act. You see, what led that man to give up what he had earned? Well, it's because that he really believed that following God is what was most important. He believed that if God is telling him to do something, that was most important. That's what he valued. And see, because he took that step of boldness, that act of obedience, people were amazed. When was the last time you did something that amazed other people? And I'm talking about did something for God that amazed other people. Now if you look at your outline in the bulletin, I want you to think about this next activity here. How amazed are people by your boldness? You don't have to necessarily circle it, but just in your mind, circle a number. How amazed are people by your boldness? 1 being the least, 10 being the greatest. And, you know, honestly, I want to say that I thank God for faithful brothers and sisters at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church that I would be able to have examples of people that are nines and tens. I thank God for their boldness and their example. And yet, when I consider myself and I think about different times in my life, honestly, I would be on the lower end of the scale, if I were honest with you. How amazed are people by your boldness? If we have a God that can part oceans, if we have a God that can bring someone, raise someone from the dead, if we have a God that can heal the sick, and why aren't we more bold? The third fact about boldness that I want to share with you this morning is that spiritual boldness comes from knowing Christ. Spiritual boldness comes from knowing Christ. You look at that diagram, that little circular chart there. Okay, fill in these blanks. Okay, 1, time. Write that in. The 2 is faith. The 3 one is boldness. And the 4 one is results. Spiritual boldness comes from knowing Jesus Christ. You look at Acts chapter 4, verse 14, it says, they also, the leaders, the religious leaders, they recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. I don't want you to get me wrong this morning, dear church family. The goal in the Christian life is not boldness. The goal is not boldness. Our goal should be knowing Jesus Christ and loving Him. And that boldness is a byproduct of our relationship. Boldness is a byproduct of us knowing and loving Jesus Christ, believing that He is for real, that His Word is true, that His promises are true. Time with Jesus builds our faith. And as our faith builds and grows, it leads to boldness. And as we live with boldness, our lives produce spiritual results. We see results. We see God doing amazing things. We experience the power of God. Now, by no means am I saying God's going to do whatever you want Him to do as long as you pray in faith. I am not saying that. But on the other hand, what is the most bold thing that you've asked God to do lately? What is the most bold thing that you've asked God to do lately? Time with Jesus builds your faith, which leads to boldness that produces spiritual results. And you know, I grew up going to First Chinese Baptist Church. My pastor was Pastor Simon Choi, and he was my example of a godly man growing up. One of them. And what I remember about him, I mean, he's still alive, okay? And I'm thankful for him, but my memories of him are of him doing a lot of things. He would pray. I would see him pray. I would know that he comes to church early to pray. I would know that he prays early in the morning with his wife. I would know that he prays throughout the day. I would experience it. I observed it. I know that he always took opportunities to share Jesus Christ with other people. Whether it was on an airplane, whether it was in the gym while he's working out, wherever it was, I knew. And when it was going on mission trips with him, I witnessed his persistence and faithfulness in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would think to myself, wow, he did a lot of stuff. And it makes me think, why? What would lead him to do and live like this? To do these things and live like this? Why would Pastor Choi do these things? Now, by no means was he a perfect person. And that's not what I'm talking about. But as someone looking for an example of a person following hard after Jesus, he was an example to me. What would lead him to live like that? And the answer is just this point that I shared with you. His boldness came from knowing Jesus Christ. He believed that Jesus Christ was the one that rose from the dead. He believed that Jesus was that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He believed that when Jesus commands us to go and make disciples, that Jesus really commands us to go and make disciples. That when Jesus calls the church to continue the mission that He started, that it's really our responsibility as the church to continue what Jesus started. Boldness, spiritual boldness comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And you look at what's happening here with Peter and John, and the religious leaders just wanted to shut them up. They wanted them to stop talking and sharing about Jesus. Just stop. Peter and John could have been killed. They could have been thrown in jail for life. But look at what happened. They got released. And the religious leaders who were highly educated, they were left speechless by idiots. They let them go, but they gave them this. The religious leader said, stop talking about Jesus. Stop telling people by whose name and whose power that you're performing these miracles. Stop telling people that Jesus Christ is the one doing all of this. And look at verse 20. What was their response? You know, if you were their best, their good buddy, you might be telling them, whoa, Peter, slow down, man. Do you want to go to jail? Do you want to get killed? Just tone it down with the Jesus stuff till you get out, until they set you free. Then start talking about Jesus again. Be smart. Here's a response. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we've heard. We cannot help speaking about what we've seen and what we've heard. You look all throughout the New Testament, amazing miracles, the dead being raised, people being healed, people, apostles casting out demons, crazy needs being met by the power of Jesus Christ. Why was it that Peter was able to stand up and say that in the face of the powers at the time? Why? How could Peter have that type of courage and boldness to say, you want me to stop? I cannot stop. I will not stop speaking about what I've seen and what I've heard. How could he have such boldness? It's because he had been with Jesus. It's because Peter had experienced Jesus. It's because Peter believed in Jesus that this, His word, was true. Do you believe in Jesus? Not just that He saved you, but now He's calling you to live. Now He's calling you to go, to be His hands and His feet. Do you believe that He's commanded you, that it's up to you and I, the church, to go and change the course of eternity, to turn the world upside down, to storm the gates of hell? Is our church characterized by boldness? You know, it's my prayer, dear brothers and sisters, that our church would never be half-hearted. That our church would never fall into the temptation of being lukewarm and choosing the things of this world. But it's my prayer, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, that our church that we would be so in love with Jesus that our lives would overflow with boldness, with love, with compassion, with courage to stand up for what's right, to stand up to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ to a world that so desperately needs Him. You know, most of you would say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But can you say this as well in verse 20? Can you say, as for me, I cannot help speaking about what I've seen and what I've heard? If you've experienced the love and the grace and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, how can you not speak about what you've seen and what you've heard? When I realize every day how broken I am, how weak I am, but I'm reminded of God's promises that I can do all things through Christ, that His mercies are new every morning, that there's no temptation out there that is not common to man, but when I am tempted, God will always give me a way to escape. Not only that, but I'm an heir of Christ. I'm righteous, I'm pure, I'm set apart, I'm called, I'm commissioned. I am His child. See, if I really believe those things, then I'm going to live them out. If I believe that God has called me to get uncomfortable, to reach someone for Jesus Christ, then I'm going to do it. Can you say this morning that as for you, you can't help speaking about what you've seen and what you've heard? What is it that God's calling you? How is it that God's calling you to be bold in your life? Maybe for some of you, it's taking that act, making that choice to be obedient to God through water baptism. There's a lot of us sitting in the pews that have put our faith in Christ, but we believe that following Christ in water baptism means that I have to achieve a certain level or it has to be the right time. Well, the right time to get baptized is now if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe for some of you, you know, boldness is behavior that's born out of belief. Maybe for some of you, you want to believe, you want to put your faith in Jesus Christ today. Maybe it's time for you to believe that Jesus is for real, and that He does love you, and that He did die for you, and that He did rise from the dead. And maybe for others, it's time for you to believe that there's something more to this life than just what the world has to offer. What is it that God's calling you to do today? Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise You for who You are. God, we thank You so much for Your Word, Your truth that's useful for everything. God, thank You for the fact that You love us so much with a love that we can never fully comprehend. And You've given us life. You've set us free from sin. You give us a hope and a future. And God, I ask for Your forgiveness for the ways that we've sinned and fallen short, for the ways that we've chosen comfort or the worldly things above You. And God, I pray that as a church, You would help us to unite, God, to turn to You and to follow You, to follow hard after You, God. God, that we would live out this life that You've given us, this amazing life, that we would live it to the fullest in obedience to You. And God, I pray that if there's anyone here that is feeling You, God, just calling them or tugging at their hearts, God, to believe in You, God, or to make a choice or to take a stand, God, I pray that they would respond to You this morning. Whether it's by coming up here and asking for prayer, or whether it's by making a choice to obey You or to follow You, God, in the choice and the decision that You're leading them through, God, I pray that they would do it this morning. And I pray, God, that as a church, we would boldly press on. That we would boldly continue fighting the good fight for Your glory, for Your honor, for Your kingdom. And I pray that You would use this church, God, to bring more and more people to Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as we sing, as we have this time of response. If you'd like me to pray with you, I invite you to come, and I'd be glad to pray with you. But please stand as we sing, as we respond to God.